Hi, I'm Dr. Boyce Watkins. Welcome to Financial Lovemaking. I am here with my good buddy and my partner and my co-host, Miss S. Tia Brown. How are you doing today, Tia?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm fine. And I was going to give your title, which lifestyle expert and stuff like that, but I realized we haven't talked for a couple weeks, and I just forget stuff. And
That's fine.
I was about to say the title, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to say it wrong, so I'm not going to say anything at all.
Just say S. Tia Brown, woman extraordinaire.
There we go. There we go. That settles it.
I cut myself up sometimes, people. I really do. But as you guys know, I'm a pop culture expert and a therapist, and I'm always here to keep boys in check.
Yes. You know, licensed therapist. That's what
yes,
you are.
Yes, I am.
Yes. Not just a therapist. You ain't just out here fixing lives and talking smack. You actually went to school for this. I think that's an important distinction that people need to hear.
Yes. My loans say the same.
Yes. All right. Now, you know, today you were talking to me about this couple named Kirk and Rashida on Love and Hip Hop.
Yes.
And I don't know who Kirk and Rashida are. Who are they, and why should I care?
I think you're probably like the only person in America. I'm being a little bit dramatic, but mm-hmm. Kirk and Rashida are on the cast of one of VH1's most popular series, Love and Hip Hop Atlanta. And Rashida is a rapper. She's been in the game for almost 2 decades, and she's a beautiful woman, a mom, very positive overall. And Kirk is her husband slash manager. One of the things that I find really interesting about their storyline is that their, you know, business and romance are constantly intertwined because they work together. And Kirk is, quote unquote, the boss. Because he is the manager. During the recent episodes, we see that Kirk is making some really bad financial decisions for the couple. Again, they work together. They have other businesses besides just Rashida's rapping career. Rashida manages her own line. I believe it's called like Boss or Boss Lady. And they have makeup and they have t-shirts and other types of apparel. And Rashida really wants to push this part of their venture because they have a lot of popularity due to the show. Kirk has made some other financial decisions. The thing is, it's unbeknownst to Rashida. So he signed a new artist to his management team. An artist who, you know, most people would say isn't stellar. You know, no slight on her, but you know, she's a talented person, but it's not like he's signing Frenchie Davis, one of my favorite singers. And he also is building out this huge house. Now, mind you, the couple has a great house. You know, they live in Atlanta, so, you know, the cost of real estate out there, you know, especially in respect to other areas, like I'm in New York City, is rather nominal. But he's elected to build a new house, sign a new artist, and also begin renting an apartment that he calls their office in Buckhead. Now, Buckhead is a very prestigious area in Atlanta, and it's very expensive. So the apartment is about $3,500 a month, which is extraordinarily high, given, again, what rent can be in Atlanta. So the issue that comes up is, how do you manage you know, dealing with a partner who is making unilateral financial decisions when they're supposed to be the head of household? This has been a huge point of tension between the couple because Rashida is consistently finding out that he is financially betraying her. You know, the house is over budget. The office was a secret. The artist wasn't something that was discussed. And all of their financial resources are being taken away by decisions that he's making because he thinks they're healthy for them as a brand, as a couple.
Now, when you talk about their financial resources, are these really their resources? How much of these resources are their resources versus his resources versus her resources?
This is the interesting thing. The couple's been together for a long time, and because they have been in business together with him being the manager, these are collective resources. These are from joint accounts, and she's made it very clear, you're taking money out of our account without clearing this with me for major purchases. So again, not $1,000 here, $1,000 here, there. You know, on one of the episodes, he took out $32,000 without discussing it. That's someone's annual salary.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, $32,000 is hard to. That's not an amount you can sneeze at. That's not.
Yeah,
like
and
bucks.
Let's also be clear. You know, they have 2 kids together. He has several kids from prior relationships. Some of them aren't minors anymore, so he might not be supporting them. And also, just given the nature of the industry that they're in, we know that, entertainment business is up and down. So you can be on a show one season, off another. You can have a great tour, you can have no tour. So $32,000 becomes, something that's even more significant because we don't know when it can be replenished. So, for me, this was a very universal storyline because I find that when you talk to women, often there's this whole, regardless of whether or not you're in business or not, there's always a debate about should I be submissive financially to my husband? He's the head of household. Should I let him make decisions, that are theoretically supposed to be to the benefit of both of us and the whole household? And sometimes the bottom line is whether you're male or female, you don't make decisions that are in the best interest of everyone that's involved. So the next question becomes, how do you protect yourself? Boys, what are your thoughts?
I have a few thoughts. I mean, it's funny that all this is happening in Atlanta because Atlanta just has that reputation of being the home of the thousandaire, the flashy thousandaire, right? People that just really feel this pressure to keep up with the Joneses, live above their means, show you what they have. And during the 2008 financial crisis, when there was rampant foreclosure across the country, places like Atlanta, especially the wealthy places, were hit the hardest. Prince George's County, another wealthy black neighborhood in D.C., was among the hardest hit because a lot of people were just, their financial situation had them up to here, financially, and that's what I kind of think about there. And then, I'm hearing this consistent, as you mentioned, financial betrayal, which almost tells me that maybe a realignment is in order. That she, there, a coup might be necessary for her to say, look, you know what, I love you, and we're going to keep on doing our joint account thing, but I'm also going to have my own account too. I'm going to have to isolate some of my own funds from from the family situation, so that you're not going to sink the whole ship, with me on it. Because here's the thing, though, when you marry somebody, you're committing to that person, and you should know that person well enough to know what you're getting into. So it's not as if I'm sure his personality didn't dramatically change once they got married. She'd seen him in the past spend money and make decisions and stuff like that. Some of those decisions worked, some of them didn't. If he's her manager. While he might be responsible for their financial failures, he's also responsible for some of their successes. He might be responsible for the entire career. And so when you're working with a manager who has gotten you to the top by being a gunslinger, going for it, taking risks, you can't just be happy about the good risks and then get mad at the bad ones, right? But I do agree with you, though, that it does seem that there is a little bit of tension being created by the fact that he's kind of charging forward full steam ahead and not even asking her what she wants to do. And whether or not she's been complicit in that. I mean, sometimes we can be complicit in that sort of, silent partnership where they're accustomed to, like maybe, for example, I've seen women who say that they want that man who's aggressive and take charge and go get it, and I like him, girl, because his ego was so big. Well, you know what? That comes with a downside. That comes with a risk
Absolutely.
too.
You're
So
alpha male all the time.
there you go. So if you want the alpha male, you need to be able to deal with the volatility, which comes with ups and downs. It's not always going to be an up. So that's what I'm kind of seeing here. I don't even know if it's a matter of him necessarily doing everything wrong. Because the fact is, when you're taking these big risks and trying to create these big successes, you're going to have some things that just aren't going to work out.
And I hear you on that. And I think the comment that you made about being complicit is very important. And I think one way people become complicit is being silent. But another way is also by not issuing a penalty when you feel that something wrong has happened. So what can that look like? If you tell someone, $10,000 is the cap that you can spend, and then when they spend 15 or 20, you don't say, now we need to have that hard conversation about changing what this financial relationship looks like. So for people who feel uncomfortable with their partner's emotional spending, I think that that's one of the biggest things that you need to do. In addition to having your own stash, it's kind of having that hard stop, especially when you have a joint account and someone has the potential to drain all of your finances. The other thing that Boyce mentioned was, going with the highs of lows of maybe an alpha male or female personality or someone who's, very assertive, aggressive, and trying to go for that big win. Understand that people don't always make the proper decisions, but when you see, well, don't always have bad bad intentions when they're making decisions. But when you see that there's a consistent pattern of making irresponsible choices with that ego, whether it's emotional, whether, you know, it's depression, whatever the motivation is, you have to make a hard stop. And in this situation, when you look at Kirk's spending, some of those things aren't things that will have a definite return in profit. For example, building a bigger house. There's no return in profit. That's a debt, especially if you don't have more income coming.
Most of the time, it is a debt. I agree. But then again, though, if you're in entertainment, part of the, you know, part of the job is presenting a certain classy sort of image to other people. I don't get into any of this. I think it's crazy.
But
you know what I'm talking about. You know, I've had people criticize things I've done, and they've said, you know what, you're not portraying the image of success by doing this, right? You need a certain kind of car, a certain kind of house, a certain kind of suit. You know, and I think it's nuts.
What's the true value of that image? For example, you invest in buying creating or building a bigger house, but now you can't pay the mortgage, or all of your other finances are drained, and then ultimately, you know, the home is one of the most common things that people lose through foreclosure. So we have to really be mindful of the cost-benefit analysis of taking those risks. But overall, I agree with you, Wes. I think that communication is key. You have to be aware of who your partner is and what are some of the things that can set them off, and then kind of, you know, create different reserves financially and emotionally to deal with those ups and downs.
Yeah, that's what I've had to deal with in my own life, is that I've learned that, you know, the people you do business with really are like your family, even when you don't make them your family, right? But if you actually formally make them your family, and you're doing, you know, very close business with them, then you've got a double whammy. You're taking a double risk.
Boom, boom.
Boom, boom, right. You're talking about a spouse and a business partner, and a business partner can be like a spouse. If you work closely enough together and you've done enough stuff together, you deal with each other's emotional ups and downs, financial ups and downs, etc. And so you got to make sure you know who you're jumping into the pool with. Because the thing is, to me, once you jump in that, once you make that commitment, you're kind of in there, especially with marriage, and, you know, with a marriage on top of this deep business relationship. You're kind of having to say to yourself, I'm going to have to just trust this person. I'm going to hang with them even when they have a prolonged down slump. And I think about this when I think about my own business manager and the, you know, a couple other people I work with and my business partners. And I think, man, like, there have been some times where I've looked at them and said, what the hell are you doing? What are you doing with my money? What is wrong with you? Now, the question is, how do you respond to that? I mean, do I walk in, barge in and say, oh, no, this is done. If you don't change this now, I'm out. Right? Or do I just, you know, have to grin and bear it sometimes and realize that not only am I going to have to deal with a period of insecurity and concern because they're off on this wild tangent, this idea that I know is a bad idea, but also I have to accept the fact that it may not work out too. And I may have to forgive them. I may have to forgive
Absolutely.
The fact that we made $300,000 this year and we could have made $500,000, but your dumb idea cost us $200,000. That's the question people have to ask themselves when they form any kind of partnership, whether it's a business partnership or a marriage, is can you take a major loss with this person and still trust them enough to go into battle with them again? You know, and that's just like anything else, like being on a basketball team and having another player that may have a bad game every now and then. Are you willing to stick with that person through the bad games and the good? That's the question.
And I think to minimize your losses, you have to be mindful of what's your bottom line in terms of emotional and financial security. So when you're dealing with a spouse or, you know, a significant other that you're in a business with, you know, you might want to make sure that all of your eggs aren't in that one basket. So if emotionally and financially, you know, a deal breaker would be possibly losing your home or being in tremendous financial debt via consumer credit cards, maybe you have a different cachet to handle personal credit cards and a little stash so that way your mortgage is covered for 6 months to a year on the side, regardless of what happened in the business realm. And I think that way it can be a win-win. But it's up to the two individuals to decide what makes them feel safe and what makes them feel you know, most happy and respected and protected in that relationship. So ultimately, regardless of how much you love an individual, it's up to you to protect yourself emotionally and financially.
That's a very
good point. People fall short. We all fall short. You may fall short. he or she may fall short, but that doesn't mean you don't love and respect each other.
I think that's a very good point. And I don't have anything else to say, but I just want to back that point you just made, that maybe there is a compromise that can be made. I emphasize the word compromise because sometimes we make these sort of very hard decisions that end up destroying our relationships.
Absolutely.
And then we realize, gosh, you know, I didn't like losing the money, but now I've lost something more valuable than money. I've lost somebody that I really love, my life partner. And I personally believe that love matters. Typically, it should matter a lot more than money. That's just my take. But what I think is maybe a good compromise is to come in and just say, look, you know, I see what you're doing, and I want to support you. I know you got hopes and dreams, because that's what he's doing. He's pursuing his dreams. His dream is to be the next Diddy, Jay-Z, whatever. And maybe she wants to support her man's pursuit of those dreams, but she may have to come in and say, you know what, I need some concrete security to know that in case these dreams don't work out, I'm going to be all right. So can we put aside 100K or something so
that
we can make sure.
Fund.
There you go. There you go. The don't touch fund. And I don't just need you to just give me your word that everything's gonna be all right, because you know that's what guys will do. Oh, baby, don't even worry about it, baby. It's gonna be fine. You know, and you have no bass in your voice.
Do that voice again.
Don't worry about it, baby. It's gonna be
I've
all right.
I've heard that voice before.
Yeah. It's probably some old Uncle Remus movie back in the day or something. But anyway, you know. But no. I don't need you to tell me, baby, it's gonna be all right, because this is making me nervous. Put that money to the side. Make sure it's not touched. Plus, I'm going to have a little bit of my own as a backup. And then if I have my security, you can go pursue your dream, and then you have a nice balance. And I didn't mean – I knew it. I was supposed to be done talking, but I had to throw that in there because I wanted to reiterate what you were saying. I totally agree with you.
No, that's a win-win. We'd love to hear your thoughts on the topic. Have a great day. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.